Welcome to Mass Mayhem. We have finally reached the 25th episode. Podcast is over. No, we still have five more to go after this, but I am one of your hosts, TFJ1 Mike. Joining me is Toon Master Tim.
Hello, Mike and listeners.
Hey, you know, you hope the last three episodes of a series, or the last couple episodes of a series, they would go out with a bang instead of a whimper. Sadly, not the case with Mask.
Definitely. But you know what? At least they've been consistent throughout the series.
Consistently bad, yeah.
Yeah. Because you have those series that, you know, people will be like, oh, yeah, you know, that was great when it first started. The first couple seasons are good, and then it trails off after that. No, Mask was consistently bad the entire season.
I mean, Mask has 75 episodes. And I know people are going to hate me for comparing it to this. Mask has 75 episodes. Transformers has 98 episodes. I can at least count 50 of those 98 episodes being ones that I actually like. I don't know which 50 of the 98 they are. I know I remember, you know, some episodes that I do really love. But it's like 75% of Transformers G1 is good. There are a lot of bad episodes, but 75% is good. In Mask?
Yeah, oh, I agree.
It's probably, I hate to say this, but it's probably 96% bad and 4% good.
Yeah.
I really hate to say that, but, and I'm just counting the first season. I'm not, I don't even remember the racing season, hence why we're going to be doing it, but out of the first 65 episodes, 96% of them I did not like. 4% of them I did. It just, oh God.
Right. I mean, there are a few of them, and we'll get into this when we do the recap, I'm sure, but you know, there are a few that stand above the rest, but, you know, that's not really saying much. They're not standing very tall above the others. I mean, there's a few things, like, I remember when we got a little bit of backstory on Matt and and Miles, and there was the issue with his brother, and then there was, like, a story that involved a little bit of history about his father. You know, so some things like that that, you know, I think were some highlights in the first season, but overall, it's just kind of the same plot.
Just over yeah, and over. Just scrolling up, and I know we're not to the recap yet, but I'm just going to say this here now. Just scrolling up to the very beginning of the episode list here. Highway to Terror. Okay, the Death Stone. It was the first episode. I still like the first episode. Highway to Terror. Video Venom. Let's see here. Assault on Liberty. And the, which, what was it? It was, the Counterclockwise Caper. So those would probably be my top picks out of the entire season. The rest are hit and very much miss.
Yeah.
But we are here today to talk about the final three episodes of Mask Season 1. We are going to get to the Gate of Darkness after this.
I thought the festival lasted till sunset. It turned out to be a limited engagement.
You should have seen it, Dad. A king cobra followed this floating flute and scared everybody.
And Scott climbed a rope that went straight up in the air.
Wait a minute. Floating flutes? Running cobras? Alex?
Well, not that it makes any sense, but a fakir somehow did the genuine Indian rope trick. At the same moment, a flute went winging through the air, luring a cobra from the festival.
Then as soon as the cobra left, the rope I was climbing went limp.
Sometimes the eye does not behold the truth.
I think I can still catch the curtain call, and maybe Mr. Subas can help.
All right, first up is the Gate of Darkness. Venom abducts a cobra whose hood shows the way through a maze that leads to the treasure in the Himalayan mountains. Oh. Just another fucking train. This is kind of like my old quote from TFGN podcast. Just a bunch of fucking repaints. That's all these damn episodes are now. Just a bunch of fucking treasure hunts. Ugh.
Yeah.
God.
Yep, absolutely.
I think the rope trick was cool until we found out what the hell was actually powering it. That, you know, I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I did too. I thought, okay, well, that's kind of neat. But then they find out that it's basically like this. There's this air underneath it or something blowing it.
It's a mechanical thing.
Yeah, so
it's some machine, and so that kind of took the wind out of the sails. And I mean, it's your standard Mask plot. Venom's trying to go get something. Mask has to stop them. There's nothing in this plot that is any different from any of the other episodes we've talked about since we've started doing this podcast again.
Yeah, it really isn't. I like the title of the episode. I thought it would be something a little different maybe going into it, Gate of Darkness. But yeah, it just turns into your typical treasure hunt. We find out that that there's a priceless artifact, so we know Venom's going to be after that, and it's just basically an ivory throne.
Yeah, it's an ivory toilet, ladies and gentlemen, is what it is. All right, we are going to get to the high beams after this.
Loaded ivory throne, and you guys are giving music critiques. You're driving me nuts with this thing. Snakes are deaf anyway, you idiot.
They are. Sorry, I won't do it anymore.
I got it. I drew it.
Okay, Rembrandt, I hear you. Now let's move it.
Turning on the high beams. They're not very high. The only thing that was really cool about this one for me is, hey, look, Buddy and Brad are back, finally. Yay.
Yeah. And, you know, I just happened, like, in this episode, it really occurred to me that there are a lot of Mask team members that have a first name that starts with a B. Because we have Bruce, Brad, and Buddy in this one.
Yep. What else did you like about this one? Anything?
Well, you talked about the team members. I did like that. You know, we get to see what they're doing when they're called up, and you know, they've gotten less interesting over time. They've kind of basically used some of the same backstory events, and then this one we get Buddy. In kind of a humorous scene where he is working on somebody's tire and the guy's standing there and, you know, he's filling up the tire with air and then all of a sudden he gets called, so he just takes off and the tire just keeps getting bigger and bigger and finally the guy's like, I got to get out of here too, and then it explodes. It's good.
It's not the same as, you know, the pizza place with Dusty. It just isn't the same anymore.
No. And it's so funny. I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, when they show these the things that the people are doing when they're getting called up, and you know, they immediately drop whatever they're doing and take off. When, you know, if they give it like 3 to 5 seconds, they could wrap up whatever's going on. So they kind of, you know, he kind of left a dangerous situation there where this guy could have been extremely hurt or killed.
Yeah.
The other thing I did like about this one, there was a decent battle scene at the end of the episode, so that elevated this one a little bit. But another thing I really thought was good in this one was Miles' frustration with his goons. And I know we've talked about this in some of the past episodes, but in this one, he makes a joke about finding the map by walking into a gas station and asking for a map to the Gate of Darkness. So I thought that was pretty funny. And then there's another incident where he is talking with Dagger, and Dagger says something like, "Who turned out the lights?" And then Miles replies with something like, "Your lights have been out since you were born, idiot."
Mm-hmm.
So, again, Miles Mayhem. You know, he's a true leader.
Yeah, really. Yeah. You know, I like the comedy amongst the villains, I really do, but if you can't give me an interesting enough story in 22 minutes, I mean, the 7D gives me two interesting stories in 22 minutes on the Disney Channel, you know, He-Man, Thundercats, Voltron, they're all, if you don't count the commercials, they're all 22-minute episodes. They all give me interesting stories. Sure, there are plenty of things that Kevin and I, and even you when you comment on them on the post, that we do or don't agree with each other on as far as whether things are good or bad in He-Man, but at least there's actually things to talk about with the plot of an episode that lasts 20 to 23 minutes. And I'm sorry, but Mask just doesn't have it. I don't think, and I've said this before in the show, I don't think these people cared. I'm not talking about the voice actors. I'm talking about the people in charge of doing the show, the producers, the directors. I honestly don't think these people cared. And, you know, I was watching, I'll talk about this now because we're at the end of season one here, and on the last disc of season one, the final sixth disc of volume two in the DVD set from Shout Factory, it has a special feature where it's Saturday Morning Crusaders Unite, and it's all these supposed Mask fans. Yeah. Getting together, and there's like comedians, and I don't even know I've never heard of any of these people. I've never seen them anywhere talking about this. And they're all and don't get me wrong, I like that Brian Ward and Shout Factory got, you know, with these people, but it's like, they're like, oh, well, Mask is basically a big, you know, middle finger to Transformers and G.I. Joe because Mask is so much cooler because it combines those two shows and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, the concept is cool, but story execution sucks. You know, it's like, you know, this feature, I don't even know how long it is. It's probably, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, and they just keep going on and on.
Oh, no, it's like 20 minutes.
Is it really?
I did watch that today, and I checked to see how long it was before I even proceeded with watching it. And, you know, a few minutes into it, I was thinking, okay, this is kind of worthless. But then it did have some humorous moments, but it was kind of funny because... Yeah, they did say that. There was somebody saying, oh, yeah, it's a mesh of G.I. Joe and Transformers, so it was so much better, it was so much cooler. And I don't know if that was, you know, meant to be facetious or if he was, you know, if he'd actually seen the show recently. but there were some things they did agree with us on, which I thought was good to see as well.
Mm. Yeah, so let's get to the low beams for the Gate of Darkness.
Indian Safari!
Well, Safari, so goody. It was nice of the India Department of Records to let us borrow this.
Yes. If we can combine our modern technology with the ancient info on that map, maybe we'll come up with the location of the gate.
All right, getting to the low beams. Honestly, other than Buddy and Brad being back, there are and a few funny lines between Miles and the rest of Venom. There's not much here. And at the end, there are way too many puns. Mm-hmm. Way too many. This is just... I don't know. It's more of like... We're at the end of the season. I wanted something more. They didn't give it to me. And this is... If this episode was in the middle of the season, it would probably get a slightly average, maybe slightly below average score from me, but at the same time, it's like, we're coming to the conclusion of the season here, people. Do something, and they didn't.
Right.
What about you?
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, and I kind of felt that way with the episode we'll be talking about next, is it started off different. I thought, okay, we're going to be getting something different here. It's almost like, you know, Stan Lee deciding to put Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy because the book's going to be canceled anyway, so what the heck? And I thought, well, maybe somebody, you know, somebody's taking a chance, or, you know, the story editor or something said, okay, fine, this is breaking the mold, but just go ahead and run with it. And we would get something different, but no. And that's exactly what you're talking about with this episode. It's something that we've seen so many times at this point that had we seen this early on in the series, we might have been like, okay, not too bad, you know. Like you said, maybe about average or so. But at this point, we're just so frustrated with these recycled plots. And one of my low beams here is something I mentioned, I think, in our last episode is the voice acting and just how flat it is. And we have this moment, okay, where Matt is driving Rhino into the village. You know, they're all hyped up. They're ready to go. And he runs over these spikes that one of the Indian guys was sitting on. Mm-hmm. And so it flattens Rhino's tires. Rhino flips over onto its side, driver's side down, and lands on top of these hot coals. And then Matt just calmly asks if everyone is all right. It seems like, you know, the way he delivers that line, there's no impending danger. Even the animation doesn't give us any sense that there's any real danger here. But obviously there is. And, you know, smoke starts filling the cab of Rhino. But again, you know, we cut to the commercial. We feel like there's something dangerous here. You know, our team's in danger, and we need to get... you know, we need to have some concern for what's going on, but the voice acting is just so flat. And so then I paid attention to the credits after the episode was over, and just picked out who was doing the voice direction, and it's Stu Rosen and Marsha Goodman. And so then I looked them up. I know we're kind of getting, you know, off topic.
No,
I think we need to kind of talk about this for a minute. I mean, I think this is interesting.
Absolutely.
So, Stu Rosen, he also was a casting director for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, I give him some credit there. So, he went on to do some other good stuff. And he worked on other shows like, Captain N, The Game Master, Defenders of the Earth, and Fraggle Rock. And I think that, you know, that's a pretty good resume. I think those are some pretty decent shows. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the Captain N. But, you know, I mean, he also was on, worked on My Little Pony, the movie. I mean, those are well-renowned, well-known franchises from the 80s. And then Marsha Goodman, she was also known for her work on The Real Ghostbusters and Captain Planet and the Planeteers, Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. So it's not like, you know, these were just unknowns in the industry. I mean, maybe this was one of their first... their first series, because I think Mask was 1985. Yeah, 1985. And so some of these other shows came later. So, you know, maybe they were just cutting their teeth on Mask and then went on to do better things. But it was just interesting because I know, like, you know, we've talked about the writers before and how we didn't recognize the writing team.
Except for Chuck Lorre.
Yeah. Just bad. Bad.
Very, very, very bad. So, all right, we are going to move on to the next episode.
The Manakara!
The Manakara Giant!
Up next is the Manakara Giant. Okay... Venom uses a magnet weapon to crash ships into rocky beaches. Local natives believe it is caused by an ancient curse until Mask discovers otherwise. Dun, dun, dun.
So this one had me hooked.
yeah, it did.
I actually did. I mean, in the very beginning, I thought they did an excellent job with that scene with the ship. And, you know, all the sailors on there are panicking. You know, we hear this voice coming from the island and the ship's being pulled in. So they all have to abandon ship. I thought that was done very well. And as I was alluding to in our discussion about the previous episode, I thought, OK, they're taking a chance here. They're going to do something different. You know, let's hope to God that Venom isn't behind this and we have some sort of supernatural element here. And it's just going to be Matt and Mask members trying to figure out what the mystery is. And I wish they would have done that rather than always making Venom being behind it and chasing after some treasure or some artifact or something. You know, it's kind of like with other series. You mentioned He-Man before and or even Thundercats, you know. Yep. Mum-Ra wasn't behind everything that was going on Thundera in every episode. And neither were the mutants or other, you know, or the main bad guys. They would bring in new bad guys. Same thing with He-Man. You know, it wasn't always Skeletor or, you know, his evil army. You know, they tried to branch out and do other things, so it wasn't it wasn't boring. You know, it had some new elements to it.
Yeah. See, the thing with He-Man and Masters of the Universe that I found out is that they don't use the here's the difference between Mask and He-Man and Masters of the Universe from 83. Mask uses Venom too often and doesn't give us enough, you know, who else could it be outside of them? And then He-Man and Masters of the Universe, they use too many one-shot villains and not enough of Skeletor and his evil warriors. So it's a kind of a, you know, flip sides of the same coin. Mm. And it's like, oh, come on. With this one is, out of the final three, this one's probably the best one, honestly.
Well, for me, it started off real strong, but it quickly became less and less interesting. Yeah. So for me, this one is not going to be my favorite of the week. But I think it did have some good moments. It's not, well, to me, it because it had such promise in the beginning and then failed to deliver, I was very disappointed.
I think for me, with the plot is out of the three that we have for the final three, this is probably the best written plot out of the three of them, at least the most interesting plot. Yeah, sure, it kind of goes downhill. I mean, that's like, you know, somebody asking a magician, how did you do that? And he shows them, and then it just becomes less mystifying on how he does his trick. It's the same thing here. You know, once you find out that, oh, the machine did the rope and blah, 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 and whatever else, and the flute is magnetized, and,
yeah,
you know, once you find that stuff out, yeah, sure, it kind of goes downhill from there, but the overall, you know, the episode plot on a whole here is a hell of a lot better than what we've had recently.
Yeah, the plot itself, I agree, I like that. It's one of those episodes where it takes us a while to get things moving. I mean, we have this scene in the very beginning that opens up the episode that has this impending danger and this mystery. And then, you know, we spend probably the next 10 minutes or better just wandering around and, you know, T-Bob thinking everything is the Manikara giant. And, I mean, there were so many times that he called out, it's the Manikara, it's the Manikara. And it's just like, shut up, you know, let's move on already. There were too many attempts at humor that, you know, I think they could have just been skipped and we could have had a much tighter story.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's get to the high beams.
Legend says when it gets angry, nothing is safe that gets in its path. The pilot told me this Manikara giant was responsible for all these accidents.
There's no logical explanation, Matt. A monsoon, for instance, that explains what pulled the freighter ashore.
Then it must have been the giant. Wow, I wish I could have been there.
Well, I don't. One's giant, Steph, and I'd be just another pile of scrap metal.
But, Stephen, your freighters have used that strait for years to transport cargo. Why did Manikara dip his fingers into this one?
I don't know, Matt, but this platinum shipment was one of the biggest we've ever transported. And I've got an even bigger shipment of platinum that must go through. My entire business holdings are at stake. I need your help, Matt.
I've got some friends who might be interested in checking into this. I'll give them a call.
Thanks, Matt. I'll arrange for them to stay in a house on the island.
Don't worry. We'll get to the bottom of those footprints, Stephen.
All right, turning on the high beams. Well, for the first time ever, Scott actually shows emotion and sadness for T-Bob when he's going to get whisked away. It only took them 63 episodes to get to this point. Because Scott does look like he's about to cry when T-Bob gets whisked away by the water.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
He was torn up about it.
So this isn't a treasure hunt episode. This is a platinum theft episode. So since it's not actually a treasure hunt, it's probably going to get a much higher score for me, since it wasn't that boring. Because at this point, I never want to see another treasure hunt plot ever again, unless it's finally release National Treasure 3.
Fair enough. Yeah.
What about you? What'd you like about this one?
It was fitting that that Venom's own magnetic machine was what defeated them in the end.
Yeah.
I did like that, because Scott is he's at the wheel basically of this magnetic machine and uses it to pull in Venom's vehicles, which, you know, explode. And then it's kind of funny, there's a scene after the explosion where Miles and Vanessa are flying through the air. And Miles is like, you know, I'll get you next time. And Vanessa is just kind of like basically laying on her side with her arm under her head, just like, you know, with frustration saying, yeah, this is, you know, this is going nowhere.
Yeah.
So I did like that. And then I've got a high beam here that's also going to have somewhat of a low beam. And that is, we've talked about T-Bob and how he often gets treated as being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott actually reminds T-Bob he's not human.
He's a robot.
Yeah. Because T-Bob is concerned that the island natives may be cannibals. And T-Bob says, you have nothing to, or Scott says, you have nothing to worry about, T-Bob. You're a robot.
Mm-hmm.
But then he contradicts himself later, which is going to be in the low beams.
Yep. So let's get to the low beams after this.
I still don't understand why you made us move the machine from the other island.
Foolish female! Only the local people were fooled. That's why we moved the machine before investigators came. Now continue the test. I want to make sure the machine wasn't damaged in the move.
Love to. Here comes our bait now.
All right! Working, it's working! Shut it off, Vanessa!
For the low beams, take it away, sir.
Well, I thought for sure you would have this in your low beams, and maybe you do, but basically mine is kind of a big one. I've already kind of alluded to it, but Scott told T-Bob that he is a robot. He is not human. But then T-Bob is underwater, and Scott is asking Matt if T-Bob can hold his breath that long.
God. Like, yes.
Why? Why did you do this to us? You just showed, you know, some reason here. And I'm so frustrated with this show.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you now see why and you hear why Optimus Soul did not want to come back to this podcast. Because, I've said this before. As much as, you know, I enjoy working with Tim on this show, it still cannot compare to how bad this show is. The only thing I wrote down, because this was such a, I'm going to make this joke, such a breath of fresh air compared to the last episode, the only thing I wrote down that I complained about was fire insurance. Really? That's the PSA? Fire insurance?
Why is it there are so many fire safety, fire-related PSAs in this series?
I don't know.
I mean, they can't even come up with good ideas for PSAs.
No. Not at all.
I can watch a marathon of G.I. Joe PSAs. On the Rhino release of the G.I. Joe movie, there's maybe like 23 or 20-some G.I. Joe PSAs as a special feature just lined up back-to-back.
Right.
And I watched those, and I thought they were all good. They didn't tell the same... They didn't have the same public message. They were entertaining. They were fun. But these right. PSAs, they're just awful.
Yeah.
Most of them, anyway.
And it's so funny because... Not all of the Transformers episodes that I remember, not all of them ended on a PSA. They just ended. They just went from, you know, they closed out. It wasn't a sharp ending, a couple of things. But it was, you know, they closed out, then they went to credits. And not often unless it was after the credits before the next show came on, did the PSAs happen? And this is something that is strange with certain 80s properties. Transformers has them, but they don't have them on every single episode. At first, I didn't think Gem was going to have PSAs.
Yeah.
It takes until like the 12th or 13th episode out of 65 for Gem to start incorporating PSAs at the end of its show. And Mask has a PSA after almost every single 65 episodes. And none... Mask should have done what He-Man did. They made the PSAs relevant to what happened in the episode.
Yeah, well, I think that with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, they wrote the plot around... I mean, they often seem like they developed the plot around an idea they wanted to deliver in the PSA. You know, they didn't work backwards. They worked forwards. And they said, okay, we're going to have this episode be about, you know, respect for your elders.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they would have an episode that was interesting and had that element in the episode, and then they could talk about that in the PSA. And they didn't always do that. I mean, I both know that, you know, not every episode had that PSA that tied in directly to what had happened in the story, but there were a lot of them that were.
Mm-hmm.
And Mask is just, it's just tacked on.
Yep, pretty much. Absolutely. So I think we are going to get to the final episode of the day, final episode of season one, after this.
And in this compartment, gentlemen, you said the famous spy, Mata Hari herself, wants travel to escape the Allies.
Wow! Lots of famous people traveled on the Orient Express. Spies, kings, and criminals.
But you, T-Bob, are our first robot.
I am. How about that? I'm Scott's first robot, too.
It must have been exciting being on a train with all kinds of criminals.
If that's what you want, just hop on a subway.
Thanks for giving us the tour. Scott's getting a real kick out of it.
It is my pleasure to share the mystery and intrigue of the Orient Express with such honored guests.
All right, final episode of season one, episode 65, Raiders of the Orient Express. Where's Indiana Jones when you really need him?
Yeah, this is the second episode recently where they've had Raiders of something. I mean, as the title.
Treasure, Menace, Scarlet Empress, Incident in Istanbul, Stone Trees, Plunder of Glowworm Grotto.
Okay, maybe not. I thought we had a recent episode where there was Raiders of something in the title.
No. I'm all the way back up to episode 44, and there's no Raiders. So anyway, Raiders of the Lost Orient, or Raiders of the Orient Express, Venom infiltrates the Orient Express train, looking for clues to Mad King Ludwig's treasures. I didn't know Koopa's kid was in this series, let alone being a king. Alright, so this is the final episode of the series. Of season one, I should say.
Yeah.
It's better than the first episode, at least.
Oh.
Sure, it is. It is still a treasure hunt episode, but it's better than the first one that we talked about today.
I don't know. I don't know if it's that by the time I get to the third episode, sometimes I am just like, I don't care anymore. but I just found this one so boring. I really did.
I don't know. I thought it was interesting, at least at first. I liked how Venom could never get into the thing, the treasure, because they couldn't figure out the clocks.
Uh-huh.
Overall, as a season finale episode, this is just standard. There's no cliffhanger, there's no nothing, especially with coming back with only 10 new episodes for the racing series. They should have done a better job with this and done some sort of continuity or some sort of story with Matt's brother, or with how Matt Tracker and Miles Mayhem came up with the technology for the masks, and they just should have done something a little differently. I don't dislike this episode mm-hmm. on a whole by itself, but as a season finale episode, this sucks.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I would like to have seen them go back to some of those things that you were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, again, hit on the backstory between Miles and Matt. You know, what happened there. Try to you know, tell a more backstory or wrap things up in some way. I mean, even though they have this second season coming up, which I'm not sure how much different it's going to be from the first, I'm hoping that it takes somewhat of a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been nice to see something like that, because, you know, we talked about this when we were discussing the last episode, the Manikara Giant, that special feature at the end of the last disc
yeah.
on volume 2. And again, they talk about this history of Matt Tracker and Miles Mayhem. And I guess one of the guys on that special said that there was a comic book included with Rhino. And it told
right.
the backstory, which actually was kind of a dark and violent backstory between Miles Mayhem and Matt Tracker. And how, you know, during this incident of them having this falling out and Miles wanting to take the technology and steal it, his brother got killed, right?
Yeah, Matt's brother got killed,
Matt's,
I believe.
Matt's brother got killed. You know, pretty dark material for a cartoon back in the 80s, but it would have been nice if they could have at least done something with that. I mean, I think there's a lot of story there that you could tell. I mean, certainly over the course of 65 episodes, we haven't really delved into that very much. So, yeah, it would have been nice to have seen that come back around in this last episode of the first season.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is a nice thing. I mean, it's an interesting... this episode is interesting, but at the same time, it's still, this is more middle of the road than the first episode is.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, this is basically a Richie Rich plot. Seriously, it's basically a Richie Rich plot where the person's treasure isn't an actual it's a Casper the Friendly Ghost plot. I mean, you know, it's... Venom looks for this treasure of this Mad King Ludwig, and turns out the treasure that he has is a model train set of the Oriental Express, because he loved riding the train all the time. So there's, like, you know, when I watch this before recording... I'm like, hey, when's Stinky Fatso and Stretch gonna show up or something? It's like, seriously? I don't know.
Yeah, we've been down this road before. I mean, if it's, you know, Miles after some great treasure and it just turns out to be it's steam that was so valuable during the Ice Age that was the treasure, or
yeah.
or you know this hidden money that. You know, it's hidden around the Washington Monument, and it turns out it's old Confederate money, so it's worth nothing.
It's under a giant W. but yeah, I mean, yeah. All right, let's get to the high beams, if there are any, after this.
Interesting. Back in the 1800s, they were the private quarters of King Ludwig. Mad King Ludwig
He slept in an empty swimming pool. He threw lavish parties for ducks. Built crazy gigantic clocks. He was a regular loony.
Looks like he was a regular passenger, too.
But of course, he was crazy about the Orient Express. He even built a castle along its route, so he could travel on the train several times a year. It said he hid a fabulous treasure somewhere in his castle, but no one even knows what it is. Mad King Ludwig's castle. Where's it located? You are fortunate. It is in Zermatt. Our next stop.
All right, time for the high beams. This is really the episode where they really destroyed almost all the vehicles except Switchblade. Jackhammer gets killed. Manta gets killed.
Yeah.
Even Piranha. Piranha gets killed.
Yeah, Piranha, like, goes off a cliff, and the motorcycle part slams right into a cliff and explodes.
Yeah. Jackhammer basically gets cut in half. Kind of reminds me of 2007. You want a piece of me? No, I want two! And Megatron rips Jazz in half. they really... I'll say this for this episode, even though the plot isn't that great, at least for leaving it on a cliffhanger, as far as what the vehicles are going to do for the second season, who knows? I mean, normally when the Mask of the Venom vehicles have been destroyed before, they just kind of come back brand new, like, hey, we repaired them off-screen. I'm at this point, I have no idea what, because I've said this before, I don't ever really remember seeing the racing series season, so
yeah,
that's going to be totally fresh and new for me. Hopefully it's just not the same recycled plots. And then, hey, a PSA that actually aligns with the episode, since it's, you know, train related.
Yeah, it did.
So that's good. What about you for high beams?
There was some humor here when Teep, Bob, and Scott suspect that one of the passengers is Miles Mayhem in disguise. Yeah. Because we'd seen that Vanessa was in disguise as this countess or something on the train.
Yep.
So I thought that actually worked out real well and provided for a very humorous scene, because I thought it was going to be Miles. It looked just like him, but it wasn't him. So,
yeah.
You know, they're doing the Bugs Bunny gag or whatever, where he's trying to, like, pull his mustache off and stuff, throwing water on him. So it's pretty funny.
Yep.
And then there was this other scene where Matt makes a joke about being cut from the team.
Yeah.
And everybody is laughing just hysterically. They're so boisterous. It just became comical, just laughing, you know, at how hard they were laughing at that joke. I mean, it's like, it just got louder and just crazier, and it went on for a long time.
Yeah, it went on for way too long. Absolutely way too damn long. Yeah, at least it wasn't Scott laughing along with them, though. At least it was just, which I don't even know where he went in that scene, but I'm trying to think what else did I like about this one. I think that's it. I mean, I was hoping the runaway train would have just, crashed somewhere and Scott and T-Bob would have ended up in the hospital or something, but that'd be cruel for me to say that. Oh, wait. Whoops, I already did. So I think we are going to get to the low beams after this.
A hammer. All that trouble for a crummy toy hammer.
Hey, it's not a waste. Maybe someday you'll get some toy nails.
Dagger, you've got more holes in your head than 2 tons of Swiss cheese.
I'll take that. This toy is obviously a clue to Mad King Ludwig's treasure. To your vehicles!
All right, for the low beams. Something about the Countess looks familiar. Are you fucking kidding me? He should know who Vanessa is.
Really? He needs the computer to tell him that?
Yeah.
I mean, well, It has her mugshot right there on the computer screen, and they have to like peel back the hat and the clothes to tell him this is Vanessa Warfield. Come on.
I know. It's just so ludicrous. And then just another treasure hunt episode to end the season, no less. What about you? What didn't you like about this one?
Some of the things I've already mentioned, I didn't like that the real treasure was the train set. I also didn't like that, actually my biggest issue with this episode is that it feels like it's trying too hard to like build in all these layers. Because mm-hmm. we go through the trouble of Venom stealing the doors from the Orient Express. And so we're thinking, okay, well, why would they want the doors? What is it with the doors that's so important? And so then we find that Venom cuts the doors open just to find this little bitty hammer. And then they go to, what was that, the mansion or something?
Yeah, they go to Ludwig's castle.
Yeah, they go to the castle and they go to this room where there's all these cuckoo clocks, and they fit the arm into this man on the cuckoo clock. So then that produces a sound that opens the door to a hidden room, and then they go into the room, but they still can't get behind the panel that's inside the room that leads to the treasure. So it's just too many layers. You know, it just became too convoluted. It was just too much. They didn't need to go that far with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just...
Well, I think they're trying to be clever and write something with, you know, multiple layers and you know, make it interesting and maybe fun to follow, or maybe the kids will have fun trying to figure out this mystery. But in the end, we just want to see big battles and some cool action and, you know, throw in some humor. You know, I just thought this was the most boring episode of the week.
No, that first episode is worse than this one for me. So we're going to take a quick break, come back with final thoughts and ratings after this.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Yes, that's right. We have traveled to Eternia to enter Castle Grayskull. Join Optimus Solo and TFJ and Mike as they find themselves telling Tales of Eternia. We cover all things He-Man in this 45-episode-long podcast. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekassradio.com. By the power of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe News Reviews and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good grief.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Remote Control is the new TV podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. We'll be covering TV shows and topics from the year 2000 to whenever now is. We'll have special themed episodes entitled Pilot and Season Premieres, as well as finishing finales. We'll also have Season Pass episodes, where we take a look at an entire season of a TV show. Remote Control can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and www.geekcastradio.com. So tune in, because we are all remote controlled.
Now back to Mask and Venom.
We are back. So ratings for the episode. The first episode, sir, what are you going to give it? How many masks or how many non-masks?
Yeah, a negative number.
Yes.
The Gate of Darkness for me gets 2 masks. It was enjoyable. I mean, it was kind of middle of the road. I didn't mind some of the moments in that one. I mean, it has some low beams that, you know, I didn't like the voice acting in this one, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, there was definitely a moment of danger there. They could have done a better job of delivering those lines.
Yep.
But, yeah, 2 masks.
For me, it gets a 1. Just, it's by far the worst out of the 3 episodes for me. I was expecting more than what we got, as we said in the episode review. You see a title called Gate of Darkness, you think of something like, you know, Gozer the Demon King coming to hunt the Ghostbusters or something, or, you know, something interesting, and it just wasn't interesting enough for me.
Yeah.
What about the second episode?
Well, this was the one that started off strong, that I had hoped that there would be some supernatural element to it and we would get away from Venom being behind everything. you know, maybe they would show up, but maybe they wouldn't be behind it necessarily, or after some treasure or artifact. But, it just turned out to be so boring. It took so long to get things moving after that initial scene. You know, they're wandering around the island trying to figure out, you know, what's causing the footprints and everything. So I ended up losing interest in it. I'm going to give it 1 mask.
For me, this was easily the best episode of the day. It was the most interesting for me out of the 3 of them. I liked all of the mysteries surrounding how, like, was it really a sea monster and whatever else. I really dug that. It's not great, but it's not below average for me, so I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 masks.
Oh, wow.
What about the season 1 finale?
Yeah, you can probably guess I'm not going to rate this one very well either. Raiders of the Orient Express. You know, I did like a few things about it. You know, there is that scene where T-Bob and Scott are in the train car and it's rolling down the hill, and so we have all the Mask team members team up and they you know, shoot I can't think what the name of it is, basically some sort of anchors or something through the roof of the car and haul it off the track so it doesn't go over the gorge.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a cool moment. And as you said, there were some moments where the vehicles get destroyed. But again, I just had this problem with it just taking so long and just having so many layers in there where they try to be clever and mysterious. So I didn't like it. I found it boring. I'm going to give it 1 mask.
All right. For me, it's only going to get a 2. Like I said, if you would have done something a little bit more interesting with the season finale, it would have been better for me. But sadly, they didn't do that. So
yeah, I mean, they could even have, you know, besides telling more backstory about the main characters or something, they could have used some of the newer characters again. Mm-hmm. We basically got the standard characters for both teams here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for Mass Mayhem. Thank you for joining us. There are still ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com. Leave us reviews on iTunes. Please do this. You can shoot email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Coming up next, we have the season 1 finale kind of recap show, as well as we're going to tease a little bit of season 2. And then after that, we'll get into season 2. We'll only have 3 episodes of Mass Mayhem left, and it'll be done. For now, I am TFT1 Mike with
Toon Master Tim.
And remember, podcasting is the ultimate
illusion is the ultimate weapon.